In 1960s, a stone was discovered in Tabasco, Mexico, which tells us there was a Maya city during the Classic period. It was the Mayan calendar. It was unique because it has a specific date of the end of a certain cycle, December 21, 2012. And some people believe that it was the day of the end of the world, December 21. And a friend of mine, his birthday was on December 21. And a week before his birthday in 2012, he said, "You know what? I don't believe that my birthday would be the end of the world. And no matter what happened, I'm going to have my birthday cake." And at the time, a huge number of people took it seriously, and many of them went to their sacred place to be saved. And mass media talked about that for a while, and NASA, they posted their opinion on their main website for a week, saying, "December 21, 2012 is not going to be the end of the world for a week." It was funny. It was funny. And we know it didn't happen. And I had my friend cake, birthday cake with him. And I remember that was delicious. In our gospel reading today, we have a parable of watchful slaves. And Jesus said, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit, because nobody knows what time the master would come home from the wedding banquet." And he says, "You must be ready." This parable seems easy to understand what it means. Here, slaves or workers, they indicate us, you and me, human beings. And the master or the Son of Man who is coming is Jesus Christ. And the time the master comes would be Jesus' second coming. So some people interpret this as the end of the world, or Armageddon, Judgment Day, or Eschaton. Then what does that mean? What does Jesus' second coming look like? Is that about Jesus' judgment? Or is that about us going to heaven? We don't know. And we don't know about the day, and we don't know exactly what it looks like. And not only in our Christianity, but also most of the religions, people have spent a lot of time thinking about this topic. And some other people, they didn't want to talk about that. As many people have been pondering this topic for 1,000 years, it ended up having questions about heaven and salvation, thinking, "Am I going to heaven? How can I make sure I will be saved? What is it? What's going to be God's verdict on my life and my faith?" And so many times these questions find a way to the judgment, and many Christians and churches are using judgmental languages, mainly talking about sins repeatedly and filing off so many rules and standards and the list of the things to do and not to do, so much more than sharing the love of God, because their focus is on how can I be qualified and justified, and who else is going to be qualified with me, and that means who's going to be in my side, just like the Pharisees in Jesus' time. Then what does the Bible say about that? We find the Bible mentions the end of the day many times, and Jesus says that Jesus will come again from the heaven, and he will discern those who would inherit the kingdom of God. And in our gospel reading today, it seems the author of Luke's gospel thought it was an urgent matter, urgent issue, saying it could happen today, tonight, or tomorrow. It is about Christian eschatology. Eschatology is a combination of two Greek vocabulary, eschatos and logia. Eschatos means last, and logia means study. So eschatology means the study of the end, or the last, and it becomes a study about the end, sometimes the end of an individual person, sometimes the end of the age, the end of the world, or the nature of the kingdom of God. And the early Christians, they believed the end would come very soon. And this belief inevitably came from their faith. And at some point, it was about fear. Fear of death. Fear of being hurt. Fear of losing somebody they love. And fear of encountering something which we are unable to expect. Yes, we will breathe sometimes, someday, our last on earth. We don't know. We don't know precisely when it happened and how and what it looks like. And in spite of all these questions and our feelings about that, Luke's gospel tells us, be ready. Hey, friends, be ready. And what's interesting is, it seems that exact date doesn't matter in the Bible. There is no mention about the standard or criteria of who is qualified or not. What it says is simply the master will return from the wedding banquet. And what he will do is serving them and sitting down with them to eat. I think it doesn't sound like the day of the judgment, but instead, having another wedding banquet with his people. Wedding banquet. Let me tell you, throughout the entire Bible, there is only one time in the book of Revelation you may find that the Bible paints a picture of heaven with a golden gate and a street. Only one time. The dominant image in the Bible of what heaven looks like is a wedding banquet or a feast. Why? Why is the wedding so important? Why does Jesus mention about the wedding banquet or feast when he describes how heaven looks like? It's because a wedding banquet was the happiest time where everyone in town and even strangers were invited in Jesus' time. It was the festival of the entire village and town, and they were full of people eating, meeting with each other, and dancing, laughing with all the people. So, you don't want to miss that. Everyone is invited. Everyone is having fun. That's the picture of heaven in the Bible. So in our scripture reading, a specific date of the day or the criteria to be prepared are not the main point. And we find the main point, Luke 12:32. It says, do not be afraid. It's interesting. It seems like the day of the end of the day, the word, but Jesus says, do not be afraid. And it continues, Jesus continues to say, because it is God's pleasure. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes. What the Bible says today is God's primary focus is not to judge who is ready or not. And it's not about who is qualified or not, who looks like me or not, who is practicing their faith in a way I do. No. In this text, that is not God's primary focus here. Instead, God's primary focus is to give you and me the wedding banquet, the kingdom of God. And it sounds like a word playing, but there is a huge difference. God's primary purpose is not to make a judgment, but to save us. It is like Jesus' ministry and crucifixion. It is really, really, really important. But what he wants to tell us is his resurrection and our discipleship. That matters to Jesus. Why? Saving us. That matters to Jesus. So every Sunday, every worship, we have the communion. I love that. I love communion. Because it is all about Jesus, his sacrificial love, and our assurance to salvation. And we decide to live like Jesus every time we receive the element. So I smile. I smile when I give and receive the element of the communion, because it is my communion and it is our communion to affirm our unity and our faith in Christ. So I smile. And a few years ago, I went to a church on a Sunday, and they have the communion. And of course, I was really excited and happy with that. And when I received the communion, the element, yeah, you can imagine that, I gave my big smile. Then the communion assistant, he was really surprised at my smile. And I felt kind of awkward. Uh-oh, what is going on? And I looked around in the sanctuary, and I found the people in the sanctuary, they were really serious. And some of them even cried. And they prayed, "Oh God, Jesus died for me, and I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." And I was the only one who smiled. And at the moment, the communion assistant, he didn't know what to do. And I didn't know what to do. I want to make sure I'm not making fun of them. I really, genuinely respect their heart and love for Christ. But I believe if we only focus on Jesus' crucifixion, if we remain there, we are missing the primary meaning of the communion, because it is about his resurrection, his victory, and his love for you and me. Likewise, when it comes to the eschatology, the end of the day, our focus is not about exact date or judgment. It is not about who's going to be qualified or not. Who are the people who believe and practice faith in a way I do or not? It is not the primary purpose of God. Instead, sharing love is God's purpose for us. Proclaiming the good news is God's purpose for us. Making peace and justice in our home, church, and our community, and making the kingdom of God in our relationship with God and the people around us, that is the one that matters to God. And that's the way for us to be ready for Jesus' coming. So this week, I want to ask you, what can you do? What can you do in a way we are ready for Jesus' coming in your home, in your work, in your relationship with people? we need to be ready in our action, word, and deed. And we need to remember, it is God's pleasure not to judge, but to give the kingdom of God to you and me. Amen.